Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us continue with our worship service with the singing of Psalter 56, the first two verses. My shepherd is the Lord who knows my needs, and I am blessed. By quiet streams in pastures green, he leads and makes me rest. My soul he saves, and for his own name's sake, he guides my feet the paths of right to take. It is 1 and 2 of 56.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the Gospel according to St. John, there's of the sixth chapter, beginning with verse 35 through 58. But first, let us do confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention John chapter 6, beginning with verse 35 through 58. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he, shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing and his presence. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, merciful and gracious Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, for the second time on thy day, thou hast given us the privilege and the blessing to again come into thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us from thy precious word. And Lord, we beg and ask thee then that thou would teach us to pray. We are born prayerless, and without thy grace we will die prayerless. Lord, wilt thou teach us to pray, and teach us that in prayer we are approaching unto thee, a holy, almighty, majestic Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, and that we are sinful. Wilt thou give us the true humility, that we may come bowing before thee, and yet that we may be looking up unto thee, from whence cometh all our help. O give them that true humility, but also that true faith. And what a wonder thou hast said in thy word, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. What a wonder that thou art calling unto sinners to call upon thee, and that thou would fill them with those blessings that thou only can give. And Lord, we ask and beg thee then tonight, as we have gathered together, that thou would gather with us. Pass us not by. Lord, look upon us in mercy. Come with the presence of thy Holy Spirit and work mightily, irresistibly. And Lord, we have read and heard that none can come unto thee except the Father draw them. O, wilt thou then work mightily, irresistibly, and draw sinners unto that only Savior of him who has made that full atonement. Lord, thou hast said in thy word that thou wilt make a people willing in the day of thy power. May it also be so tonight by thy free and sovereign grace, that thou would draw, that thou would give life and draw unto thyself. And Lord, then may we truly confess, draw me, Lord, and I will run after thee. Turn us, and we shall be turned. Lord, have mercy on us. Oh, we beg thee, remember all those who are yet on that broad way that leadeth to eternal destruction, who know the truth, who have heard the truth, and yet who are on that broad way and carry on, pleasing self, serving the world, serving and pleasing their own flesh, enemies, lost, dead. Oh, we beg thee that thou would pass them by, may it be tonight, and that thou would say, live, and that they may have life. Lord, thou art the only one who can rescue them. Thou alone hast that might, that power. Oh, we beg thee then, have mercy upon them. And Lord, they may be on that broadway in so many different ways. They may be a Pharisee, yet lost. They may be a faithful church member, yet lost. Or they may be also using the means of grace, but also at the same time living for the world. Oh, we beg thee, awaken and teach and lead and guide unto thyself. Use thy law as a mirror before them to show their guilt, and use thy word to hold before them that thou art that almighty God who has created them perfect and has the right to demand perfection. O, wilt thou show them that they are under wrath and under the curse, and thou hast the right to say, pay me. Pay me what thou owest. And oh, may they see that they're lost, guilty, and they have nothing to pay, and that they begin to seek and long for one who can pay, who can make atonement, and who has made atonement. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, care for all thy dear people. Lead them unto that only place of rest that we heard in this morning to meet thee through that mercy seat, through meet, through that blood-sprinkled place where thou wilt commune with them, that thou can meet them through that sacrifice of thy dear Son. Oh, in this passion season, may sinners be made alive, but also may thy dear people, the little lambs and the sheep, may they be fed. May that death, the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, become so necessary for them to have a payment, to have reconciliation with the Holy God, and that he may become suitable and seen through thy word. Work mightily with thy Holy Spirit and give faith to lose everything in self, to surrender and to look and to find through thy word and by the application of the Holy Spirit everything. Everything that need to stand before thee in peace through that precious Savior of thy dear Son. Oh, we beg thee then for the conversion of sinners and for the edification of thy dear people. Lord, wilt thou then remember us in thy mercy? May we again lay before thee all those who are mourning in our midst. Care for them, widows, widowers, those who have lost a child or children, those who have lost a sibling, a father, a mother, a friend, a classmate. Oh, wilt thou sanctify all these callings? And Lord, remember all those who are sick and afflicted. Care for them. Remember those with special cares and needs, and parents who are called or others to care for them. Give what is needed. Help them, Lord. Remember those who have addictions. Oh, wilt thou break those bonds? Lord, wilt thou look upon them in mercy? Remember those who suffer from deep wounds of abuse. Lord, care for them. Give healing. Help them. Lord, remember those who may have done these acts. Give true repentance. Remember those who may be doing such wickedness. Oh, we beg thee, bring them also to repentance, and that they may confess and forsake sin. Lord, we know that Achan was living among thy people, and he brought judgments upon the whole nation because of his sin, and that he had to be brought to justice, that thy favor would be among the people. Oh, may we then all search our own hearts and lives. Are we living in sin? And that we may confess it and flee from it, that we would not bring judgment upon the whole congregation. Lord, thou art that all-knowing, all-seeing Lord God of heaven and earth. Oh, bring to that conviction of sin and true repentance. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember the government that thou hast placed over us. Oh, we pray and beg thee that thou would give them a heart that has the tender fear of the Lord. Thou art the mighty God. Thou can work in the prime minister. Thou can work in all those who rule over us. Oh, have mercy. What a blessing it would be for this nation. But would it not also be to the honor and to the glory of thy name, that there may be governments who would long to lead this nation according to thy word and to the truth? Lord, forgive all our many sins, especially on thy day. So many, it's a normal day. They do not go to thy house to worship thee. Oh, have mercy, Lord, and give repentance against all thy commandments. Give love and respect for life, that thou art the Almighty God and hast created and who has given life from the moment of conception until natural death. O Lord, in our nation there's so much blood that cries unto thee, of abortion, of euthanasia. Have mercy, Lord. Bless the efforts of those who speak against this sin. Convict and convince sinners of their sins, but not only of this sin, of all their sins, Lord, against all thy commandments. Give true repentance, forsaking sin, being in the world, but not of the world. Give a longing, a hunger, a thirst for righteousness, to follow thee, to obey thee, to serve thee. Lord, bless thy word richly in Canada. Have mercy upon us, and bless all the efforts, the preaching of thy precious word, and all efforts of evangelism among our neighbors, fellow workers, classmates, also in the prisons, but especially also, Lord, in our homes and in the schools. Bless it, Lord. Remember Rehoboth Christian School. Help the board. Guide them and lead them. Remember the staff. Give God-fearing teachers. And bless thy word richly unto the students, to boys and girls, to teenagers. Oh, that they may have a new heart, that they may have the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts and long to serve thee. Lord, bless thy word richly, mightily, powerfully. Remember us as a denomination, Lord. Oh, we beg thee that thou would thrust out labors into work in thy vineyard. Lord, the call has gone out again in the banner of truth with the announcement from the curatorium. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, have mercy, and that thou would then, men who have thy grace, and that thou art calling, that they may hear thy voice, and that they may surrender, and that they may come forward, and that thou would gladden us with thy deeds. Lord, do it for thy name's sake. There's no reason in us. As a denomination, we sin everything away. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember all those who are lonely, all those singles, all those who suffer and who live alone. Care for them, be near unto them. Remember all orphans, Lord, care for them. Remember us as families, give love and faithfulness as husbands and wives. Give that we may be helpmeets to each other, not only for this life, but for the life to come. Give fathers that they may be God-fearing fathers, and that they may be prophet, priest, and kings in their home, and that they may rule and govern, and that they may do their utmost to teach and to instruct our children into the truths of thy word. Oh, that thy word may be opened in our homes, and that they may be read, and that thou would bless it, Lord. Have mercy. Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. We beg thee. Remember also that family that we have sponsored and are waiting, whether they may enter and come in Canada and live among us. Lord, if it is thy will, open the way, and that they may come here, and that they may be under the means of grace and receive a blessing for their never-dying souls. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember the persecuted church. Care for them, uphold them, strengthen them, and may we see the great blessing that we have, that we may freely come together into thy house. Remember those who may have come, but who refused. Lord, prick them in the heart, awaken them, and remember those who long to come to thy house and who cannot because of different reasons. Care for all those in Bethany Care Home, Lord. Remember them. Bless thy word to them. And Lord, we ask then tonight that thou would gather with us. Help in preaching. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit. Give much prayer, errands and earths, and that we may be carried on the wings of prayer, and that thou would bless thy word, Lord, that there may be food that is only to be found in thee, and thou who hast said, I am the bread of life. Oh, give faith, and that it may be an exercise that poor, needy, hungry sinners may receive those blessings that thou can only give. And Lord, thou hast promised in thy word that thou wilt feed, that thou wilt abundantly care for thy people, for poor and needy sinners, with thyself and who thou art through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we've asked thee much. We deserve nothing because of all our sins, because of all our iniquities. But, oh, we beg thee, Lord, hear us, answer us, visit us, Remember us for thy name's sake, and because, and through, and in thy dear Son, in whose name we pray, in the forgiveness of all our many sins, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Let us continue with singing from Psalter 139, all six stanzas, 139. The mighty God, the Lord, has spoken unto all. From rising to the setting sun, the nations hear his call. 139, all six stanzas in the collections are first for the church and the second for the Emeritus Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, what are sacraments? Part of the explanation about sacraments, we read that the sacraments are holy signs given by God. Children, what is the sign in baptism? You know, water. Exactly. And what are the two signs in the Lord's Supper? Broken bread and poured out wine. So signs. Signs point to something. Signs communicate a message. And now, I want to give you an illustration. Imagine if someone took all the traffic signs and just turned them. They didn't put them down, they didn't destroy them, but they just twisted them 180 degrees. All the signs in Ontario, all the traffic signs, all the signs that point to different towns in different cities, and just turned them 180 degrees. This would be a disaster. This would be confusion. Those who were following the signs and come to the highway and expect to go to London, they would end in Toronto or the other way around. So signs need to be in the correct position, pointing the right way to not cause confusion. So this is just a practical example of the importance of correct signs in the right way, not twisted, because it leads to confusion. God gave a sign. Right, children? What do you see when it rains and there's little sun? There's a sign in the sky, a rainbow. God gave that sign, a rainbow that speaks about his faithfulness and that he will never destroy the world with a worldwide flood. And Satan has hijacked that sign and given it another worldview today. But never forget that beautiful rainbow, that sign God has given, still speaks. And it has the same message. Don't listen to the twisted signs. Read God's word. Satan loves to twist signs. And he has twisted signs on purpose. And he loves to cause confusion and distraction. He loves to just twist, to twist the signs. Why? He does everything to cause wretched sinners not to have hope, not to have comfort in what God means by pointing to the signs. God, in the sacrament of Holy Supper, has given two simple signs, the broken bread and the poured out wine. And through those signs, he is communicating a message. And we need to keep those signs straight, exactly according to what God means, what he has said those signs point to, what those signs communicate. But Satan has also, in the history of the church, twisted these signs. And he's so smart. He's so cunning. He doesn't destroy the signs. No, he just twists them. Like he did with Adam and Eve. He speaks the truth, but he twists it a little bit. Satan is wise, but he does this with a purpose. Why? He wants to destroy truth. He wants to destroy comfort. He doesn't want Christ to be worshipped, and he wants sinners to be hopeless. Hopeless. But the Lord has given signs. Signs in the sacrament. Satan doesn't want any sinner to ever worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And he doesn't want those signs to point to the truth of what they mean. Because that truth glorifies God and it brings comfort to poor, wretched sinner. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. And he works through the history of the church. He worked from the very beginning and he will continue to the end. He wants to just twist it to cause confusion. But let's read now from the word of God about the signs and what the Lord Jesus Christ said. First, we will turn to Matthew 26. And we read those verses last week, but we'll read them again. Matthew 26, verse 26, 27, and 28. Matthew 26, 27, and 28. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So we hear of the two signs. Bread, pointing to his broken body, and wine that point to his blood. But now let's turn again back to John 6, which you heard read to you, and we will read from verse 53 through 56. 53 through 56 from John 6. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." These verses, what the Lord Jesus Christ has said in these two portions of Scripture and also in other places, have been twisted in the history of the church. And the aim of our forefathers with the Heidelberg Catechism is to set those signs straight upon the foundation of the Word of God. And that is why they wrote in the Heidelberg Catechism three Lord's Day on purpose about the Lord's Supper. And remember, 28 is about the purpose, 29 and the first question of 30 is to refute the errors, and then the last is who may attend. They want to speak against the errors, against all those twisted truths. They want to teach the truth of what God has said in his precious word about the Holy Supper. It's very important because it's for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's the comfort. Twisted signs don't comfort. We need the truth. The truth. We need to be girdled with the truth. We need to be armed with the truth. And we need to know the truth of these signs. Because these true signs glorify Jesus Christ and comfort the church. But let's read now from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 29, question and answers 78 and 79, which you can find in the back of your Psalter on page 60. Lord's Day 29, questions and answers 78 and 79. Do then the bread and wine become the very body and blood of Christ? Not at all. But as the water in baptism is not changed into the blood of Christ, neither is the washing away of sin itself, being only the sign and confirmation thereof appointed of God. So that the bread in the Lord's Supper is not changed into the very body of Christ, though agreeably to the nature and properties of sacraments, it is called the body of Christ Jesus. Question answer 79. Why then doth Christ call the bread his body and the cup his blood, or the New Testament in his blood? And Paul, the communion of the body and blood of Christ? Answer, Christ speaks thus not without great reason, namely, not only thereby to teach us that as the bread and wine support this temporal life, so his crucified body and shed blood are the true meat and drink, whereby our souls are fed to eternal life, but more especially, by these visible signs and pledges to assure us that we are as really partakers of his true body and blood by the operation of the Holy Ghost as we receive by the mouth of our bodies these holy signs in remembrance of him, and that all his sufferings and obedience are as certainly ours as if we had in our own persons suffered and made it satisfaction for our sins to God. So the theme tonight is Holy Supper and the meaning of the signs. Holy Supper and the meaning of the signs. Two thoughts. What is not meant by the signs? What is not meant by the signs? They're twisted. And we will consider, how are they twisted? And the second is, what is meant by the signs? It's a summary of the Heidelberg Catechism. The Holy Supper. What is the meaning of the signs? And then the first thought, what is not meant by the signs? And second, what is meant by the signs? And so, dear congregation, what are the sacraments? We need to understand that first. What are the sacraments? The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals appointed by God for a purpose. What's the purpose? The purpose is that he, as we read in the Heidelberg Catechism, to seal unto his beloved people more fully the promises of the gospel, that through the visible signs they may be assured, as we have heard last week, assured that they are partakers of his sacrifice. And so in the sacraments there's signs that point, that speak, that communicate, and through these signs he seals, he comforts them, strengthens their faith, assures them by the power of the Holy Spirit that they are partakers of his sacrifice. So in the sacrament of the Holy Supper, or in the Lord's Supper, the Lord has given two signs: the broken bread and the poured out wine. And they are means to seal to his sheep, to his lambs, to all believers, as we have considered last time, the promise of the gospel. They hear the promise of the gospel in the word, and he has instituted the sacrament to more fully sign, to seal it unto through the signs. The good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's not a good shepherd, but he's the good shepherd. He admonishes all believers to partake, because he wants to assure them and he wants to nourish them and to feed them. And he does this by the gospel, but also by the sacraments and by the signs in the sacrament. He seals. So we hear signs. Signs must not be twisted. They need to be clear signs. So do the signs, the bread and the wine, really become the very body and blood of Jesus Christ? What did the Lord Jesus Christ mean in Matthew 26 when he said, as we read, and when he took the bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, this is my body, take and eat, this is my body. What did he mean? What did he mean when he said, when he took the cup of wine, and when he gave thanks and gave it to his disciples and said, this is my blood? And what did the Lord Jesus Christ mean? The verses that we read in John 6, verse 53 through 56. How are we to understand these things correctly? What are these signs? What do these signs mean? What do these signs not mean? And this question about the truth of what the signs mean in the Lord's Supper have been a controversy in the history of the church and in the Reformation. This is one of the great debates between the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestants. It was about the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Supper. What does it mean about the signs? But also in the Protestant Church. The Protestant Church is also divided into three groups. What are those? It's the Protestants, the Calvinists, the Zwinglis, those about Zwingli, and the Lutherans. And the Roman Catholic Church and each of these three groups have different ideas and teaching about the signs in the Lord's Supper and what they actually mean, what they teach, what they communicate. And so by the time the Heidelberg Catechism was written, this was a very great issue in the history of the church. And so they took time, three Lord's days, specifically about the Lord's Supper. And maybe you're wondering, is this really an issue today? We know the truth. Do we need to discuss what these signs don't mean? Yes, because it's relevant today. We also need to know the truth of these signs. We need to know what these signs do not mean. Today in the church over the world, there is much confusion on what the signs mean. The signs are still twisted, congregation. In many churches, in many places over this world, I've seen twisted signs. What do I mean? I've heard about twisted signs in many different areas. The errors are still taught. That roaring lion still has those signs, and he wants them twisted, and he wants to keep them twisted. Twisted signs of the Holy Supper causes confusion and misunderstanding of many doctrines, core doctrines. The signs and seals in the Holy Supper are connected to the right understanding of other doctrines, of sin, of grace, of who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what he has taught. And a twisted sign leads to a wrong place. Twisted signs can bring a person to be thinking he's out of place and he's not. So this wrong teaching and this misunderstanding of the signs in the Holy Supper can cause, especially, not only the Lord not to be glorified, but a poor, afflicted, weary, needy sinner to be missing what the Lord has desired to communicate unto their soul through the signs in the Lord's Supper. So it's very, today also, very important to understand what the Lord is teaching and saying unto us about the signs, the bread, and the wine in the Lord's Supper. And there's different twists through the history of the church. And so I'd like to take a few moments to speak about what these signs don't mean. What are those twisted signs? And maybe speak with love. Twisted signs. Does the bread and wine become the very body and blood of Christ? What if someone asked you that, teenagers? What if someone asked you that in college or university? How would you answer? Do you have a biblical foundation to share with them the truth and to explain it to them? The Roman Catholic Church has taught, and I'm going to use a big word, I hope to explain it, they teach about transubstantiation. That's a big word, Rachel. What does that mean? That something actually really becomes something else. That's what it means. That something becomes something else. And they speak about the signs. So they teach that the sign, the bread, becomes something else. It becomes the real body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blood, or the wine, it becomes the real blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, they teach that when the Lord Jesus Christ said, and referred to bread and said, "This is my body," that he intended to literally say, "This becomes my body." That's in the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. A twisted sign. It's not the truth. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that mystically, that the water becomes, in baptism, it becomes the power to wash of sin. And that the bread becomes his body. And that the wine becomes his blood. And our forefathers spoke very strongly against Mass. They called it accursed idolatry. Why? Because actually when you study their theology, and every time that they take Mass, they are actually, literally, the priest is sacrificing the Lord Jesus Christ again, and that they then eat his crucified body. It's a twisted sign. It's absolutely unbiblical. And they teach that. that when you eat this, when you partake of the Mass, you actually receive grace. That by the act you are saved. By the act of taking Mass, you receive grace. And that you really eat, literally. As the Lord Jesus Christ said, they take it very literally. They don't see it by eating of faith. They say, explain it literally. That you need to eat it. You need to drink it. His body, his blood. And that thereby you are saved. And so you have many. I seen it in Bolivia. First you have 3 or 4 days of absolute wide open wickedness. Just live. You invite the devil to come on carnival. And then you just live as much as you want to your flesh. And then you go to the church. You go to Mass. And you're all cleaned up. What a twisted sign. Leading sinners, wretched sinners, on their way to destruction, to hell. Completely, absolutely unbiblical. And not to the glory of God. And not to the real comfort of poor, needy sinners. But now let's go to those Protestant group. Let's speak about the Lutherans. With love, about the Lutherans. What do they teach about the signs of the Lord's Supper? Do you know? Do you talk to Lutherans? Do you know their doctrine? They have twisted signs. And we speak this with love, that those signs may not be twisted anymore. They teach what we know, not transubstantiation, but consubstantiation. What does that mean? That means that something comes together in, under, or with something. With something. They teach that the body and the blood of Jesus Christ is in, with, together, under, united to the bread and the wine. It doesn't literally change, but it's together with. They don't teach the error of the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. No. And we love Luther. And we believe he's an absolute dear child of God because of God's grace. And yet Luther, he didn't come to the real truth of what those signs meant. And I say with love, he still had a twisted sign. So that when they partake in a Lutheran church, they eat and they drink two things. Not like the Catholics, the real body, but they eat real bread and they drink real wine at the Lord's Supper. But together with that, they also eat the body and drink the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this true? No. This is not the true meaning of the signs what the Lord Jesus Christ has taught. It's a twisted sign. And what about the Zwinglians? What do they teach? Do they have correct signs? Do you know what they teach? No, they don't teach the truth either. They teach that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not present at all. They go to another extreme. They say that it's just a commemoration. It's just a simple meal. It's just a commemoration. He's not present at all. And that there is no particular communion at that table with the Savior. That there is no communion of those true lambs and sheep by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that when their faith is an exercise, that there is no communion. It's just a meal. It's just common, nothing special. We just do this in memory, like we do our birthdays or something else. That's not true. That's a twisted sign. And this teaching is in so many evangelical churches today, mostly this teaching. And that's why they don't have table watchers. It's wide open for the whole congregation. Anyone can partake because it's just a commemoration of his death, nothing special. How sad. It's not to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not to comfort of poor, needy sinners. And it's all about the person, how they feel, and what they do, their acts. It's not about that one sacrifice of the precious Lamb of God, of his body. And that he says in the Word of God that we are to examine ourselves first. And that we may not drink and eat without examining. And that if we examine ourselves, and if we must say, I do not know the grace of God, of those three marks of misery, deliverance, and gratitude, if we know nothing, we must abstain, because it's only for his sheep, for his lamb, for those true believers. And so, in so many places, and I say it with sorrow and with grief, the Lord is not glorified. Satan is happy because those signs are twisted. There's no real food. There's no real comfort for poor and needy sinners. We need the straight, clear signs. And so the Lord taught. He gave signs. And we need to understand. In the Heidelberg Catechism, the authors studied the Word of God. They heard all those different errors. What does the Lord teach? And so they wrote what the Lord did not teach by those signs. But he also taught what he did teach. What does the Lord teach? And so we come to our second thought. First was, what is not the meaning of those signs? But now we will consider, what is the meaning of those signs? The signs in the Lord's Supper is bread and wine. Broken bread, because Christ's body was broken, it's a sign. And poured out wine, because the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood. He gave his blood on the cross. Those nails pierced his hands, pierced his feet. That spear pierced his side. And that crown was pierced on his head. There was blood. He poured out his blood. And the wine is to point to the blood symbolically. And that bread points to his body symbolically. The Lord Jesus Christ is not connected in a mystical way to those signs. He is not. It's against the Roman Catholics that teach that it really becomes his real body, against them. But that it's not only, he's not just with the signs together as the Lutherans teach. No. But it is real bread, real wine, and he is yet present. It's not just a common commemoration as the Zwinglis teach. No, it is the Holy Supper. There is bread. There is wine. And they point. They represent the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, his broken body and his shed blood. It has a message of who he is, the message of his atonement, for wretched sinners. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said what? They say that he said, this is my body. So they take it literally. But what did the Lord Jesus Christ also say? He said, I am the door. Does anyone say he's the door? We say, no. No one would ever say that. It's metaphoric. It's an illustration. He said, I am the door, because he's the way. He's the way back to God. He's the only way back to offended God that we have sinned against. It's only through him. And remember, when the Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper and said, this is my body, take and eat. And when he said with the cup, and he gave the wine, and he said, this is my blood, he was not yet crucified. That's very important. He was not yet crucified. It was going to come the next day. So in conclusion now, a little conclusion. We heard what the signs are not. And the signs are a symbolic. They point to something. They yet have a real, true meaning. They have a message. No one is automatically saved because they eat that bread or they drink that wine, as if it is really the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. No. No one automatically, by attending, receives grace. No. That's not what those signs speak about. Not at all. But the signs signify an eating and a partaking by faith. That's what the Lord Jesus meant in those verses we read from John 6. It's a spiritual eating. It's an eating by faith. It's an eating, a bracing, and a believing as a poor, wretched, lost sinner in the midst of death, that they have no food in themselves anymore. They can't feed themselves with anything. Lost, bankrupt. And yet, in the midst of death, in the midst of all their guilt, lost as a polluted one, they yet trust. In what? In whom? In that only Savior. They trust him and begin to trust him more and more as the prophet, the priest, and the king. And if they don't know much of him as the priest, then the Lord's Supper doesn't have such a rich comfort. That's what normally is the way the Lord leads. He leads more to him as the priest. And when they understand more of the necessity of that payment, and that they have nothing to pay, and they must make atonement, and they learn it through those signs that it's through his broken body and shed blood. That's the only way of atonement. Then the Lord's Supper normally has more of a meaning, a deeper, profound meaning. And they feed more on the real sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. And when the Holy Spirit, who is the one who gives faith, plants it by the gospel, and when they may partake, and the Holy Spirit gives that exercise that their faith is lively, that they are really lost in self, and yet look outside of self, and may sit under the shadow of his wings, of that precious Lamb of God, and look up to him, then they may receive comfort. They may have communion. Open your Bible, please, to 1 Corinthians 10. There we read what Paul instructed about the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. And there we read, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? What is Paul speaking about? He's speaking about it eating and partaking by faith. And in that partaking, and in that eating by faith, no, not believing you're really eating that body and blood, drinking his blood, but that they believe that he gave himself, that they read, as we read, lift up their hearts unto him who's in heaven, that it's through his broken body, that it's his, through his shed blood, that they may look outside of self and look especially to the crucified Savior who made atonement, who sprinkled that seat, may I say that, with his blood. And there at that table, no, it's not just a common meal. And when by the blessing of the Holy Spirit, then they may have communion. Communion. They may taste it through the word, but they may taste it at times also at the Lord's Supper. They may meet him. He communes with them. And their heart goes out to him. And he seals a little taste of his love in their soul. For example, he applies the word. And he says, I am thy salvation. Or in other part of the word. And then they may sink away in holy adoration. They may eat. They may taste of the love of what those signs truly mean. Of his broken body and his shed blood. Of his atonement. Satisfaction. Satisfaction for all the sin in him and him alone. And then to taste something of that sweet communion. That's a little piece of heaven. But let's sing now from Psalter 203, the first four stanzas. Psalter 203, the first four stanzas. In sweet communion, Lord, with thee, I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own to keep me near thy side. 203, the first four stanzas. Holy Supper and the meaning of the signs. We heard a little in our first thought of what these signs do not mean. We heard a little in our second thought already of what these signs do mean. So what is meant by the signs? Congregation, our bodies need food, right? Children, you need food. You need bread and water to live. Well, God's people, they need food. They need food for their soul, not only for their body, but for their soul. And they become hungry. They become spiritual hungry. They become beggars. They need food. What they become beggars for? What food feeds their soul? They need spiritual food. Food that feeds their soul, that satisfies their deep hunger and need in their soul. And what feeds them? Ask them. Ask them what feeds them. You can make them a nice meal and they can be thankful, but it doesn't feed their soul. They need something in their soul, real food. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about that in John 6, verse 51, and we'll also read verse 56, 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And we also will read verse 56. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. So what's the food? What's the real spiritual food that feeds those hungry, needy, perishing, guilty, lost sinners? Jesus Christ and him crucified. No, it's not a literal eating. It's by faith. By faith, by faith upon him, upon what he has done, upon his sacrifice, upon his high priestly work, they receive food for their souls, the word of God. But especially who he is, and who he is as the Lamb of God. That word becomes sweeter than any honey. Sweeter than honey. It becomes so precious when they may taste a little crumb. Remember that woman went to the Lord Jesus and cried for help for her daughter? And what did it come to? He said that the bread is not for her. It's for the Israelites. And she's a dog. She's a Gentile. And then she said, and that's a picture of a poor, needy, wretched sinner that cannot let that Savior go, but needs to be fed. She bowed and said, true, Lord. True, Lord. Dogs, you eat the crumbs from the master's table, and we don't want to be called a dog. But that's what it comes through the teaching of the Holy Spirit. They become what? Unworthy. That's what it is. Unworthy, filthy, polluted, unworthy. But they want a little crumb. They want bread from the master's table. They want a crumb of mercy. They want a crumb of love for their souls. And he has given his body to be that bread, to feed little dogs with crumbs, and just to taste a little crumb of his mercy and his love, that's already so much. Is it really true? What did the Heidelberg Catechism, what do we read? In question and answer 79, we read, so his crucified body and shed blood are the true meat and drink whereby our souls are fed to eternal life. So what is the signs? What is the meaning of the signs? They point to his body. They point all to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else. They point to him, to his atonement, to his sacrifice. Because there, he satisfied the justice of God. And there, they receive food. Without him, there is no food. Nothing at all. But through him, through his merits, there's food. And the good shepherd of his sheep. Remember how we began last Lord's Day? The good shepherd, he knows his sheep. He knows they become so weary with self, so weary with all the attacks of Satan, so weary with all their flesh, of all that sin that keeps coming. And they become so weary as they go on that journey that leads to him. They become so weary, so tired of self, so tired of the world, so tired of sin. And they need food. They need a little refreshment. He knows that. And he knows how to feed them through the gospel, through the precious gospel. But he also even gave the Lord's Supper that they may see the signs that point to him. So he can seal unto them, more fully the gospel, more fully who he is, what he has done, his sacrifice, that's the food that they may feed on him. And when you taste something of that food, of that real gospel food, that fills your heart with true peace. But what also happens? That all the other things of this world lose its flavor. And young people, I know how that food of this world, how it draws, and how it can draw to your attention. And you want to eat it because it looks so sweet, but it only leads to death. But I hope you hear of another food tonight, congregation, that you hear there's real food for the most wretched sinners through that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who gave his body, who gave his blood, who gave it all to feed with real food. Food that will lead to eternal life, not to eternal death. Food that he says, I will not drink it again until I drink it with thee in the kingdom. There's coming a marriage feast with a lamb. And all those, his dear little lambs and his sheep, who may taste a little something through the gospel, and when given freedom to come and sit and taste a little something of the Lord's Supper, they will come to the place where all those signs lead to him and him crucified, to be with him forever, to sit at the table, and to be fed, satisfied. They will be completely satisfied. They will never be hungry anymore, never thirsty anymore, because they will forever be with him. To him and living with him in sweet communion, uninterrupted with him. Because that's what the signs point to forgiveness of sin and to life everlasting with him through his broken body and shed blood. Congregation, how may we come to him? Are you welcome? Yes, I must say, from the word of God, all are welcome to come. Not all are welcome to come to the Lord's Supper. But all are welcome to come to him. John Bunyan wrote such a beautiful book. Come and welcome to Jesus Christ. Read that book. May it be a blessing for your soul. All are welcome to come to him because he has food. He has bread. He has wine. He gives himself to feed wretched sinners. But what are we like? We're like Joseph's brother. We want to bring money along. We want to pay for everything. And what did they experience? They got all their money back. What a painful lesson. But when you really learn, you're just bankrupt. You have no money. No money to buy anything. All you have is sin. And yet he says, come and eat. Buy wine and money with a price. And eat. And eat abundantly, drink abundantly, he says in the Song of Solomon. Why? Because they have an abundance. And they can eat. And there will never those storehouses of that greater Joseph ever be emptied. Because there's such an abundance. And how may you come? You may come with empty sacks. Empty sacks with nothing. Nothing. Nothing to present him. No perfect zeal, no perfect love, no perfect faith, no perfect misery, no perfect prayers, just all absolutely imperfections, and yet the essence in the heart. Love for him. The essence in the heart. Godly sorrow. I'm a wretch. I'm in the midst of death. And yet, looking, longing to him, to the precious Savior, I need him. That woman couldn't go home. She couldn't let him go. Why? Because he had the food for her soul. And sinners cannot let him go until they're fed with him, with the bread, with himself, of who he is. And of that gratitude. And that will flow. No, they don't have to say, and now you need to be thankful. No. It flows. When they taste, their hearts break. The signs. May they never be twisted. May they stand clear in this church. That bread points to that there is communion with God through his Son, through the atonement, through his broken body and shed blood, there is communion. I will meet thee. I will commune with thee through and above the mercy seat because of that blood. Congregation, take the word of God home. Don't leave it. Don't let the birds pluck it away. Don't let the cares of this world choke it out. But may it bring you on your knees, begging him. But you heard this morning, I need atonement. I need atonement. Teach me, Lord. I hear it, but I don't feel any need. My heart is so hard. Teach me, Lord. Break this heart. Take away that heart. Teach me of my sin. And Lord, lead me. Have you been taught a little? Lead me. Take me. Take me by my hands. I don't trust myself. They don't trust themselves anymore. But I can trust thee. Thou art the good shepherd. Lead me. Take me. Lead me to those green pastures where I may feed, where I may find true food for my soul in the word. Lead me to those refreshing waters. Visit me. Remember me. Have mercy and feed me. And may the Lord give in a couple of weeks, the Lord willing, we will have the Lord's Supper. And may it be that those true, poor, needy, wretched sinners that lie in the midst of death and who cannot deny I've learned something of misery, that they have that faith that looks outside of themselves upon that Lamb and that long to live holy may be drawn, brought, and that they may sit and that they may be fed by those signs, those true signs, by Him who is the host, by the Lamb of God, that they may be fed by Him of who He is in their soul, and that they may taste something of the love of the covenant God through His dear Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, then He will be glorified and sinners comforted. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, we come to the end another day in thy house, another day that we have heard thy precious word. And Lord, bless it. Bring it into the heart, the place that we can never bring it. No man, no woman, none can bring it to that place. It needs to be. It needs to come. But Lord, thou hast that power. Bring it into that heart. Break that heart. Renew that heart. And Lord, give also that emptying of self, and that room may be made. Hunger may burn in hearts and souls for thee, for the living God. And that by thy blessing upon the gospel, thy precious word, that there may be crumbs, food for little dogs. Lord, look upon us in mercy, and may we acknowledge thee for this day in thy house, for thy help, for without thee we can do nothing. Remember us in this week. Again we lay before thee. Remember the mourning family, the Scholten family. Remember him who's a widower now. Comfort him, the children, the grandchildren. Give opening to bring thy word, and may thy word give instruction, give comfort to those who are yet in the land of the living. Lord, wilt thou work mightily with thy Holy Spirit and have mercy, and may we remember one another. May we care for one another, pray for one another, and love one another, that we may be a true family. Have mercy, Lord, and forgive us of all our many sins. For Jesus' sake alone, amen. Let us sing now together from Psalter 312. 312, all six stanzas. I love the Lord who heard my cry and granted my request. In him who hears and answers prayer, my trust through life shall rest. 312, all six stanzas. Dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.